You're listening to BHT Radio with Rupert Bell.
A very warm welcome to BHT Radio on 87.7 FM. I'm Rupert Bell, as we now reflect on what has happened on Cross Country Day here at the Defender Burley Horse Trials. Been an amazing day's sport under sadly grey skies, but what we saw out on the course today was some spectacular riding, most notably from Ros Cantor, who will be taking a lead into the final day on Lordship's Graffalo. And to reflect on what has happened, and delighted to say I have alongside me Simon Grieve and also Willa Newton, who were part of the commentary team throughout the day. And just before we sort of analyse each and every, well, not every each and every bit, we'll be here all night, but we have no intention to do that. But at the same time, starting with you, Simon, initial reflections, I thought it was a thoroughly fair and enjoyable day's sport, and the cream, as they say, has clearly come to the top.
I think it's been a great day for the sport in general, and we saw some really good horsemanship today, which is the most important element of it all, and horse welfare, and you know, the horse is a priority always, and that was really good to see. And obviously, you know, the cream of the crop, you know, they were absolutely fantastic, amazing. But at the same time, you know, we saw plenty of trouble spread around the course, so there was no specific place that caused more problems than anywhere else.
Yeah, well, Newton was alongside us as well. What did you make of it? A genuine fair test with the odd problem.
Yeah, definitely. Like Simon said, it was a brilliant day for the sport. There were some really good pictures. Horses looked and finished fantastic, and it was a very exciting day at the same time, with problems spread all over the course.
Ben was down in the mix zone on our behalf to interview the riders. What sense did you get from the riders that when you, obviously you're speaking to the ones who've completed, so whatever happens, they tend to be relieved, happy. But what was the general consensus?
It's a bit like speaking to who won the war, isn't it? But they, they were all those that came back. Actually, you know, even those that had problems, you know, came back, and I think, you know, thought it was a very fair test. Most of them it rode as they expected. Although we did have a lot of chat yesterday about the leaf pit, and actually that was so, you know, the only thing people were talking about was the leaf pit, and actually that seemed to ride very, very well and gave people plenty of options what they could do there. So yeah, I think on the whole they thought it rode fair and rode well. Ground was great, which always helps.
Yeah, well, the ground was perfect. I'll give you the 1-2-3 at the moment is Ros Cantor, brilliantly clear inside the time. There were four combinations inside the time, 22.0. Tim Price was just outside, so he's now on 25.5. Now, it was a golden. Harry Mead's never going to forget today, that's for sure, because he's now third with Alamore Valiner, who initially thought may have had a flag at one of the last fences, but actually onward review, that was taken back. So he's in third on 27.8. Gaspard Maxud had the same thing happen to him because he ran out at one of the fences, and that flag, or was appeared to have done, but actually that on review was put back. So he is now on 30.4. And then Harry Mead's other horse to be inside the time is Cavalier Crystal, 31.3 in fifth. And then Gemma Stevens, good round for her, just 2.4 time faults on her horse Chilly Knight, 32.1. And then Monica Spencer on Artist, good day for her, 32.8. The other clear round inside the time was Alexander Bragg, who sits in 10th on 35.1. Well, the course, of course, is designed by Derek de Grazia, and I have spoken to him about his thoughts and how the day panned out as far as he was concerned.
Well, that was the most wonderful day's sport. I imagine you, from the course designer's point of view, were presumably extremely happy with what you saw, the way the course presented itself today.
No, it was an exciting day of sport, and I think the sort of the issues on course were spread out throughout the course, which is always what you'd like to see if you have that. And then, you know, for me, it's always good. And in this case, Harry Mead went out first, and he just sort of went right around, so he showed it all could be done. And that makes you happy, because then it's really up to the riders after that to go and do the job.
A lot of people think the Holland Cooper leaf pit would be influential. It wasn't, but were you surprised to see the routes that a couple of people took going that? Would that be blocked off next year?
No, I mean, I wasn't surprised. And I think that the within the jumps themselves, I in some ways expected, you know, I expected people to go the long way, I expected people to go the short way, and then I expected to sort of be a sort of hybrid of both, you know, and it did happen. So.
And when you're watching the Rolex fences, that obviously, you know, some would sweet as a nut through it, but then if you got the wrong line, it presented its own challenges.
No, and that's the issue there, is the riders, when they came, they really had to know the line. and the thing is that, you know, you don't know till you actually get there and jump the first one. And if you jump the first one well, like you thought, then it's probably going to work out. But if you don't, and you still try, and you still keep going, then you set yourself up for potentially having an issue. I think that there were a couple, you know, there were some smart riders that, you know, when they didn't jump the first one well, they just went to the alternate and it worked out fine.
And seeing four inside the time, that it feels like, it's not saying unusual, but more than usual, but presumably you're not worried about that. You're just seeing, and bearing in mind who achieved it, they were up there with the best, you know, and obviously Roz Kanter at the end was just extraordinary.
Yeah, no, I think Roz had a great ride around, was bang on the time, and a beautiful ride. And Harry, I think, you know, obviously he got around on his first horse. I think he had 10 time faults or somewhere around there. But he came back on his second and third, and he just knew what he wanted to do. And he rode, just had a great day cross country. So those were two inside the time right there. It's, you know, we had a bigger field as well this year, and I think a very good field this year. And so I was expecting that we were probably going to have horses inside the time.
And, you know, you're really getting a feel for it now from a course designing point of view. So presumably there's a sense of quiet satisfaction after, I'm sure, the crowd here going home and everybody just delighted with what they've seen.
Well, I think the big thing is you always want what you put out there to work out. And obviously... because there are a number of different questions out there that there are going to be problems here and there, and you can expect that. It's not all going to be perfect, but I think at the end of the competition, you know, you look back and we had a 50% clear rate, we had a 67% completion rate, and we had no one leave here on an ambulance, and we had no horse go in an ambulance. And so to me, that's probably a good day.
Well, it was from a sporting day, it was fantastic to watch. And thank you very much. And I look forward to what we're going to provide next year.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Derek DeGrasse, the course designer here, talking to me, reflecting on Cross Country Day. Simon Grieve, Willa Newton, and Ben Way alongside me. Starting with you, Simon. Obviously, the round of the day and presenting the most perfect picture throughout her round was Roz Kanter on Lordship's Graph. When we were watching it all together, you were just purring.
Yeah.
You were watching equine poetry in motion.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think we even said it was poetry in motion at the time. But Roz is just so brilliant in her training that the horse is super confident in her. She's also super confident in herself, which makes all the difference. And it just flows. You know, it's absolutely fabulous to watch. I mean, fantastic.
And well, it doesn't look fast, you see what I mean? The horse just eats up the ground, and the sort of, you know, there's nothing happening with Roz. He looks just so calm and in tune. There's no sort of elbows, arms, or anything happening, but just eating up the ground. And suddenly you find her finishing, what, 1 second inside the optimum time, which is as bad as, well, it is as nearly as good as it gets. Well, it is. It was sensational.
Absolutely sensational. She's just in the most perfect balance all the time, and the horse as well, it's always in such a good balance so that she never wastes a second having to set it up or get it into that balance, because it's just naturally there. And she's so economical on her line. She knows exactly where she's going to take off, where she's going to land, so she never misses a beat. It was just incredible.
Dermot Byrne of Equirating said this might be sort of Lordship's Graffalo's finest hour. Would you say that Interpol's Cross Country was about as good as this? You know, this horse could not do anything any better than that.
No, totally. It was absolute perfection from start to finish, and it was a joy to watch. And it just shows that he can do any course, no matter what, any terrain, anything. He's just, he's far, he can be quick when it's very tight turns, but then he can also get in a really good rhythm, and they're just, it's just a beautiful combination to watch.
Ben, what were you thinking?
I thought it was impressive that he, you know, we've seen him operate well out the soft ground. You know, some horses out there, like Tom Jackson was saying about Cables Hollow Drift, he likes good ground, does not like the soft ground. And we've seen Lordship's Graffalo operate at the Europeans, at Badmintons, on the soft ground, handle that, then come out on good ground today and do the same. I mean, I know we spoke about it more last year, but again, the fact that Roz is probably giving some of these other riders 2 or 3 stone as well. I mean, she's very, very lightweight. We know the weight plays a really influential role in the racing game. And round a burly witch where the stamina is, you know, stamina is a really key thing round here. The fact that she's giving some of those riders 2 stone, I mean, you know, can you imagine having a, you know, a big under rules race where as a rider giving someone 2 stone, it's a huge, huge advantage.
Do you think she should be handicapped then?
Yeah, let's start. Yeah. Roz Kanter, we're starting off 13.5 stone, exactly. That'd be all right, yeah.
So you can't live with it, basically, but she was absolutely brilliant. More reflections with her, I'm sure, later on. But Tim Price, Vitali is in second, just outside the time. It still was a really good round of jumping. Let's hear from Tim as he assessed how he got on with Vitali.
So with me now, Tim Price. Tim, just come back in. Well, not just come back in, it was a while ago now. On your round with Vitali. He looked class round there.
He was really good, you know. It's not his first time around these big tracks, but this was definitely the best he's felt. You know, he was galloping and moving, but still jumping. And he's a real privilege to ride around there because he can go fast across the ground, but then you can balance him up at the end. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the double corners, which have been causing a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I jumped in there like the 4 strides all day, and it probably was, but then I got scared and fiddled a fifth stride, but you can just do that with him.
Yeah.
And that's at 6 or 7 minutes. So, you know, to be able to do that is impressive for what his diversity is, you know, is capable of. So, yeah, it's a great round. I was really happy.
Good stuff. Well, nice watch starting for tomorrow.
Yeah. It's better than being in the leader.
Well, except I'm not sure
that, well, you know, it's just nice because it's a bit, I just feel like he's come here in very good form and it's just nice to go out tomorrow and have a jump and hopefully do a good job, and that's a good campaign, you know, really that's what it's about. I know he's always often been in a winning position, but I'm really trying to compile 3 decent phases in him, and if that's a good result, then that's secondary to what I'm trying to achieve with this horse.
Right, well, congratulations.
Cheers, Ben.
Really hope he can find a way, because when he gets asked, Ben, you were asking the question, the show jumping question, he can be delighted with the round, but then you can feel the sort of everyone knows and he's got to somehow front up. It's so frustrating because this horse probably could have won a stack full of 5 stars by now.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think Tim knows him well enough now, and he's, you know, I don't think there's any pressure there. And I think the owners have probably got to a stage whereby actually accepting 40 years, it's great in the first 2 phases. What happens tomorrow, happens tomorrow.
Well, what did you make of it? Still, what was he? 3.2 time penalties. Still a wonderful exhibition of cross-country riding.
Yeah, definitely. It was so smooth the whole way around, and he had perfect jumps, and he just kept getting more and more confident the whole way around. Whereas last year here, we had interviewed him afterwards, and he said he didn't actually feel so good, whereas today I thought he looked at pure class.
Well, and Simon, your assessment? Oh, see, Tim had a ride earlier with Viscount Victor, and that was an education process there. They were just trying to get some experience of 5-star level, and that was hard work. But this was Tim able to show his true colours with Vitali.
Yeah, and it was really interesting how he came out of the start box in 2 completely different ways, I felt, today, with those 2 different horses. And with Vitali, he obviously has huge confidence. But Tim is, I am a massive fan of Tim's. I think he is superb. I think he's probably the best cross-country rider in the world. And he does instill confidence into these horses, and Vitali, obviously, you know, is fantastic.
Well, now, in third, I tell you what, it will feel like almost the perfect day for him in the sport. 3 horses coming round, entered into the cross-country, 3 completions, 2 inside the time. And let's stress that times, clear rounds inside the time, are at a premium here over at Burley's Pass. But Harry Mead is in third on Animal Valiner on 27.8. Then he's got Cavalier Crystal in fifth on 31.3. And then Superstition, well, is in 15th on 42.9. So what a day. So much strength in depth. And he's in a strong position for a podium finish here. And Ben caught up with him to reflect on his three rounds today.
Joining us now after his three rides the day, we've got Harry Mead. Harry, I mean, it's been quite an eventful day. I'm struggling to sort of think back to specifics of each of your rides, but tell you what, they look three pretty solid rounds, I must say.
Yeah, I was thrilled with them. I sort of had a plan at the beginning of the day for each horse. I was quite happy going out first, and I would have been quite happy to going out second and third, you know, being on the three horses without seeing anyone else. I think they all sort of you know, went as planned, and you know, they're all different horses. I just tried to ride each one, you know, with a bit of sympathy and giving them time. It's, you know, it's not a sprint round somewhere like here, and you know, particularly that last mare. I mean Superstition was amazing, really game, foot perfect everywhere. Cavalier Crystal was just on fire, and you know, she's a horse who, if 18 months ago, I didn't think she'd be a five-star horse, and she just was absolutely wonderful. And Animal Valona was almost my risk.
Yeah, I remember saying with her, actually, you might need to go out and have a quieter ride on her, but she looked like she was eating it up.
Yeah, I tried to give her a quiet ride at speed, so I tried to set out really fast. Yeah. You know, steeplechase every straightforward fence, including fence one, but really hold her hand and give her confidence. You know, she wouldn't be that resilient. She'd get upset very easily if something just, you know, even something in the crowd, or she caught a fence or something, she could just panic in her breathing. So, but she was wonderful, you know, from beginning to end. She grew and grew. She feels like she's really come of age now, and was wonderfully professional, and you know, easily inside the time, and could have been even quicker.
Incredibly fast on the future. I mean, the track's caused a lot of trouble today, and I mean, testament to you, the team, the horses, you know, three amazing rounds.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is a real team effort. You know, for us, I'm pretty hopeless at a lot of things, but one thing we can do is produce confident, happy, resilient five-star horses, you know, from young horses, and you know, it's not how you produce them in the month leading up to this. It's 10, 15 years. And it's a process which not everyone buys into, you know, but I personally believe it's about giving them that long-term, slow confidence. And then when you get to somewhere like this, they're absolutely bulletproof.
Yeah, incredible. And those owners of yours have got horses here, got horses now going out, you know, to Maryland. I mean, you know, having three rounds like that, it's got to give you, then it gives you a lot of confidence again when you go to Maryland, you know, in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, for me, I just enjoy doing this. If there was no crowd here, if it wasn't competition, I'd love to come out here on my own and just have a good crack.
I've just been hearing from Harry, but I know we've now got him in situ with Tim Price. And I'm going to start with you, Harry, because to carry on from what you've been talking about, I just ask you if this was the best day you've had in the sport, and you're still not happy. What is it with you sport people?
Oh, no, I was delighted with this day. I had three mega rides. All fast, two inside the time. I would have loved the first horse to have been inside the time as well, but that's just kicking myself. As saying, I've done four three-day events with him before, one a four-star and three a five-star, and he's never had a time fault.
You really lead him down, haven't you?
And I felt that I could have just got into him a bit more, but you know, being Pathfinder, no one knew if the time was going to be possible, and he had a bit of a short run into here, so I didn't quite ask as much. I wanted to have a horse at the end, and I actually had a lot more in the tank than I needed to, so I could have used a bit more. But you know, look, he was wonderful. The other two were amazing. The last mare was green and her first five star, and she smashed the time, and very happy.
Finally, we got a happy Tim. It was begrudging, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had to dig deep and find that word, didn't he? Yeah. I'm very happy with like just blitzing a three-horse day around Burley. Is A, not done very often at all, and B, to that level, that skill level of having them all home, so good. So congratulations to you, mate.
Thanks, Timmy.
But for you though, Tim, Vitali didn't let you down.
No, he was great. One of his best rounds. I really enjoyed it. We've done a few now, but this was definitely one that he gave me a really good feeling the whole way, with all the technicalities, but also the bravery. He is some cross country horse, a little fella. So yeah, I'm very pleased.
So how do we stop Ross? Is probably what you're thinking, and Lordship's Graffalo.
What was the thing the two ice skaters did? Do you remember in the underground car park, metal bar?
I was thinking she should just have another baby.
Yeah, that's up to you.
Hello, this is live. Oh, I don't know what's going on here, but anyway, but she was brilliant. I mean, obviously.
You're taking it for the scene.
Okay. Anyway, boys, it's going to be fun tomorrow. But whatever, I mean, Harry, you.
You're still on Ross.
Fun tomorrow? Will it be fun to you?
It must be. Yeah, no, we'll be. We just love being here at the stage.
Your best finish at Burnley?
Third last year.
It's not about that. You know, come here, it's a journey. You get these horses through the three phases. You try to do justice to them, to their owners, to the team behind us. And if we can just have a clean and tidy day tomorrow, then you feel like you've come close to doing that, don't we?
Yeah, don't try too hard and we'll be.
And the result is a bonus.
Yeah, and just give the horses the best ride we can and do them justice.
Bed early tonight, Harry?
Yeah.
Ish? I thought we were having a barbecue.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Been great entertainment. I know you've probably got to go somewhere else now, but
barbecue.
Well done, Harry. Well done, Tim. Thank you very much. There you go. Off they go. And having had, why are people never happy? He was. But I suppose he doesn't want to let a horse down. He feels maybe he's let superstition down by not being clear inside the time. Simon, what would you assess that?
Well, potentially, I suppose. But as Harry did just say, he didn't quite have the build up to the event that maybe he was hoping for. And obviously, it does make a difference when you take that horse out first, because you're never quite sure. And when you're the first, you're the pathfinder. You're never quite sure what to expect or what the time's going to be like. And it's easy to have hindsight, isn't it? And it was great that he could then go off on the other two horses and make use of that.
Ben, are you off to the barbecue tonight, or are you?
Yeah, I think I'll be.
Get wangled away anywhere.
Well, you did waggle your way to the house the other day, didn't you? So, But I mean, you for Harry, yes, he has had great days in the sport. But you know, you just feel that, as Tim actually put it into context there, three to do that around Burley is one of those rare sort of culminations of the progress of a horse coming through the ranks to pull it off like that. Would you agree?
And yeah, I mean, what Harry was saying in his interview, I mean, he said he looked back, 6 years ago and had a 20-year plan. I mean, the rest of us do well to have know what's going on next week. And he had a 20-year plan with his career and his horses. And he said, I have a very specific system with these horses. I produce them very slowly. I put the groundwork in. Some of his owners might get frustrated at times coming up the ranks and, coming around some of his internationals for 25 time penalties. But actually, taking the time at those events and the build-up to this is what allows you to put the gun to horse's head, at an event like this and really go for the time. He has a system, and look, it clearly works.
Now, in fourth, a bit like Harry, had to appeal a flag. Gaspard Maxud on Zaragoza. This was a really good round. Just 3.6 time penalties were added to his dressage score. So he's on 30.4, and this was his reaction after his round on cross-country day.
Gaspard Maxud. Gaspard just looking very pleased with yourself, having got the 15 penalty taken away for the flag. Was that, I'm assuming, at the Rolex?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident she was between the flags anyway, so we would have objected otherwise, or at least to ask to see the video. But I didn't even have to do that. They took it off, so we won't complain.
Perfect. And the rest of the round looked great?
Yeah, I mean, she set my bacon at that fence because I didn't do that great. But you know what, she keeps trying for me. Yeah, I mean, she's a very good horse.
Great stuff. Well done, congratulations.
Thank you.
So the Flying Frenchman, Gaspard Maxud. I know you enjoyed his round, French, what was it? What was your phrase, Simon?
Forward French riding.
FFR. But it was good, wasn't it?
It was absolutely superb. And it's great to see Gaspard doing so well. He's such a nice guy. He's a proper character, and he works really hard, and he's had to really make it happen in his career, and it's just lovely to see him having success at this level.
Ben, what did you make of it?
You're being very nice to Gaspard. I'd say it wasn't superb through the second part of the Rolex corners. That was a pretty ropey moment, but he got through the flags. You're being very nice to him, Simon, aren't you? The rest of the round was great. Gaspard rides very positively. He's very confident. But, he got away with it the second of the Rolex corners.
Well, the Rolex corners were causing a few problems. If you got it wrong... But I think it's good. It concentrated the mind. And when we were watching that, you could see some absolutely nail it. Yeah. But if you were sort of like a foot either side wrong, then it was not so straightforward.
Yeah. No, I think Ros made it beautiful. So I think easy. The team there putting up those replacing those frangible pins and flags there, they were busy. But look, that's
who was it that went through and took all the flags out?
That was sides. Francis Whittington with DHI Purple Rain.
I was quite impressed.
Yeah,
with that.
Took the left flag out and the right and the right flag out. Yeah, but actually the horse was incredibly genuine. But it's just that horse has a very unique way of going, and like Francis has to tap into it. But that was quite impressive.
And looking through, we're going to hear from Ros Cantor in a moment. Just sort of look at some of the other sort of performances. You thought they've really learned something. I don't know who Max maybe. I don't know some of the others who could have just sort of learnt something about it. And I thought, well, Alice on top spin. Another great effort from her.
She keeps on like polishing that performance every time. It keeps on getting better every time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and almost think for Alice as well. She's had she came through and broke onto the scene. There's a lot of pressure, and actually then it sort of slightly, not fell apart, it's the wrong word, but it didn't happen for a little bit and it's come back again. Actually, probably the pressure's just taken off her slightly as well. Mm. So she comes out and performs that today. It was amazing. But I think, like you say, Rupert, Max Warburton, that young horse, 10 years old. I mean, Max is, I think he's only his second five-star, isn't he? He debuted at Badminton. This is a different horse. And he's got serious firepower and he rode with real maturity. Lizzie Boffiner was another one today who, again, that was her young rider. It was her first five-star. Rode with real maturity and the route she chose to get the horse around there and really educate it. So it was really, we did see a lot of riders going out there very much with an educational plan with some of these younger horses and some younger riders who went out there with a plan really to educate themselves and give themselves experience.
I thought, Aaron Miller as well.
Yeah, textbook ride.
Really
yeah.
well. Yeah. He's a seriously good jockey, slightly underrated, but he is coming through with some really good horses.
He's got a real quality
good team. So excited to see him in the future.
You enjoyed Gemma Stevens' performance, I know, as well, and also Monica Spencer, also on the Horse Artist, also right up there. They too had great spins round.
I mean, Gemma's got so much sass, hasn't she? Like, she's probably the most competitive person here. She absolutely was going to make it happen, and good on her.
Well, we haven't mentioned the other clear round inside the time, Quindiva, Alex Bragg. That horse deserved a great performance like that.
It did. It's probably not a horse that we or even sort of Etka Ratings talking to those guys before would have tipped to be a burly inside the time horse. But actually, she was quality around Badminton, and she has just, when she first came up to the five-star level, she's still quite a chunky mare, and she's really sort of fine down, looks very athletic now. And I think it's just the fact that Alex can just keep coming at a nice rhythm. She's polite. There's a lot faster horses out there, but actually some of these fast horses out there end up coming back with more time penalties because, like an Emma Thomas Nicholas, for example, we saw that, horse, it came home pulling her arms out. But these very fast horses, you can't actually let the handbrake off. Mm. And actually see the likes of Tom Jackson with Capel's Hollow Drift, and Aaron as well. Like, they're nice, polite horses, and actually you can just keep travelling. And it's amazing what time difference that makes.
Alex Bragg, it was so smooth. Yeah, jumping all those combinations, it was just so efficient the whole way around.
Okay, just before we hear from Ross, just some combinations that didn't make it through. That Rolex Fence caught out Zara, but it also caught...
That was such a shame, because Zara was really trying.
Yeah, and she was. Yeah,
she was really going for it, and I didn't think she deserved that at all.
And Oliver Townend did tip up there as well. That felt a surprise as well because he'd been travelling well.
It landed in, tripped. But I mean, she'd been a little bit sort of what's the word I'm trying to look for? Mm-hmm. Not hairy's the wrong word. She just looked a bit.
Not completely with him.
Yeah, through the maltings leading up to that. She was quite.
And the triple bar before that, actually. Yeah. He didn't get the shot that he wanted, and they looked not quite on song.
And so it might have just been an accumulation of things. I mean, look, Oliver Rates, it'll be one of those things. He'll put it behind her, and, when a horse has gone to sort of 6-7 minutes, wherever that is on the course now, the debate is, do you then reroute and take her to a Maryland or a Poe? He could well do it if she comes out of it well. She almost looked a little bit fresh early on. I don't think she's run since Burgum. That's quite a long time. She looked like she was probably, just quite fresh. But yeah, that was a real shame.
And obviously, any others that were sort of notable non-completions?
Caroline Powell with Green Acres Special Cavalier. That was a shame. Who else was there? There's quite a few in the top 10 after dressage. We lost a lot of the top 10 after dressage.
I think she did complete, but she took a flag, Pippa and Myers Hope. I think that horse deserves a mention. My God, yet again, it's gone clear around 5-star. And it's fantastic. Really, such a brilliant horse.
I'm not sending you away, because after we've heard from Ros Cantor, we'll talk about the show jumping phase and his Can Anyone Stop Ros Cantor? But here she is speaking after another magical day of cross-country riding from our team gold medalist.
So Ros Cantor, Lordships Graffalo, going into the lead after today's cross-country. One of the last combinations to get out there on the course. And you've just said in the press conference that everybody's been telling you that it looked so picture-perfect and such a lovely ride. But actually, you were working quite hard out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's Burley for you. I think it's really hard to see how many undulations there are. So even if you're travelling down a hill at Burley, there's ups and downs within that. And that really takes its toll and makes even just a plain-looking straightforward fence feel quite tricky.
Now, it was a fantastic course out there. Derek de Grazia building here at Burley, and Burley has a reputation as one of the toughest cross-country courses in the world. So in terms of preparing for it and coming to the event at the tail end of a season, what do you specifically do to get yourself match ready?
Well, obviously, Lordships Graffalo, he went to Paris to the Olympics, so he's competed, relatively recently. So for him, he had a little bit of downtime after Paris, and then we've just really only had 2 or 3 weeks to build him up for this, but he had that great baseline fitness already. So it was actually great because I had a few things that I wanted to tweak after Paris, but only a relatively short space of time to do it, which is sometimes better because you can really focus on exactly what you want to do. So I was really happy, you know, with my preparation running up to this with Lordships Graffalo. This year, you know, I probably, because I haven't had the badmintons and things on Lordships Graffalo, I haven't actually felt at my best myself. So I've really worked hard this week. I've had a sports psychology session on Wednesday. I've pinpointed a few things. I really wanted to, you know, get revved up for the cross country today. I watched my sports psychologist sent me a fantastic YouTube video of the lady that got the bronze medal in Paris in the marathon. And she basically said straight after, look, I don't need this. I didn't need this in my life, but I really wanted it. And that's why I went for it. And that's the motto I've had. You know, I've been lucky. I've had many, many great achievements. I've got a fantastic daughter who I adore, and I love being a mummy. And actually, that was just what I needed. You know, I don't need this in my life. I've got a fantastic life, but I really wanted it today, so I'm really delighted.
And talking about that rider mindset and that preparation, as you head back to your lorry tonight with the family, with obviously everything riding on tomorrow's show jumping round, do you compartmentalise that? Do you distance yourself from the competition for a couple of hours, or do you already start planning how you're going to handle yourself going into tomorrow's lead?
No, I will distance myself for a couple of hours. Yeah, I really want to have some time with my daughter and my husband. You know, they put up with a lot when I'm at a place like this, so it'd be really great to be able to appreciate them too and to make sure the horses are all okay and really to enjoy the day. You know, I unfortunately got 15 penalties in Paris and I never really got to enjoy the aftermath of the cross country. So same horse, same owners. I think we will sit down tonight and really enjoy what Walter was able to give us today, and then certainly at some point tonight I'll have a moment to myself, and then tomorrow I'll be back into gear.
Is there a big difference between riding on a team and riding individually?
There is, but today I told myself I was on a team. That's the way I approached it today. If I'm on a team, I ride at my best because the pressure's there and I want to do it for everybody else, and that's always been what's brought out the best in me, and I really tried to adopt that attitude today.
Well, fantastic round inside the time. So sitting on that original dressage score of 22, all the very best for you tomorrow, Ros. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fascinating insight into Ros Cantor's sort of thinking and workings. And as she said, the reason she thought she was riding on a team, and that's why, to help and taking the pressure to really make sure she doesn't let anybody down. Well, it was a magical exhibition of cross-country riding. There she is saying that it wasn't straightforward, but I've got Ben, I've got Simon, I've got Ginny Howe alongside me as we now say. So, I mean, if she was having to work hard, well, you could have fooled me, Simon, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, it did look like they were having a lovely time, just an easy hack out. You know, it looked so relaxed and easy for them.
And Ginny, you were watching it and you just think, wow.
Just wow. Yeah, everyone strives to ride like Ros and have a horse like Walter.
Right, now she's going to be taking it easy, sort of enjoying the moment. As she said in that interview, after the cross-country phase in Paris, there was also lots going on around those 15 points. But now she can enjoy it. She'll sit round the presumably the campfire down in the stable. The barbecue will be cranked up. But let's look at the final day. Is anything going to stop Lordships Graffalo winning Burley? Ben?
No.
But
these are horses, you know. We don't know how, they're going to come out tomorrow. You know, some of them might come out, might be stiff in the morning. You never know. It's you know, there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes now with the grooms and the teams there, getting the horses feeling as well as they can and limbered up and loosened up. And they'll be having physio sessions. They'll have massage rugs on. They'll be getting electrolytes. So all that work goes into it. And so actually, there's no guarantees. You know, we see these horses pull up and they've got a lot of adrenaline in their systems and they're feeling great. And actually, get back to stables and some of them suddenly go, oh, I'm feeling very tired this evening. Mm-hmm. So look, we don't know how they're going to come out tomorrow. He's normally a very good jumper on the last day. But look, the horses could do anything.
Okay, Ginny, anyone going to stop Roz winning it?
No, I don't think they are. But as Ben said, they're all very, very valid points and you just don't know how he's going to come out tomorrow.
Simon, what are you thinking?
I mean, she's going to be very difficult to catch now. I mean, looking at the top three, Vitali, much as I think Tim is incredible and he's a great horse, they're bound to have one down, so that gives her breathing space. I think she'll do it.
Well, Dermot from Equa Rating said that she could win by a long way, and she set it up because she's got to watch this in a way. The others have actually got to make sure they cannot afford to do anything wrong on Sunday afternoon. And that's going to make it absolutely fascinating. Have you enjoyed the cross-country day, Ben?
Yeah, been a great day of sport. Thrills, spills, you know, a couple of riders in the water. Looks great. People love watching that. It's been a really good, I think it's a really good day.
It's not so great for the riders having to get a change of clothing.
But just fabulous for the sport in general.
Ginny?
A great day of sport. The horses finished well. Just amazing. Some class riding.
Thank you, team. It's been a wonderful day. We will be back to bring you all the action on the final day of this year's Devendra Burley Horse Trials here on BHT Radio on 87.7 FM. The trot up is in the morning. We will be broadcasting live for that all important phase because, as Ben alluded to, horses get back. You never quite know. And maybe wake up a bit stiff, just not feeling it. And then may then not be able to get through the trot up. So hopefully there won't be any problems with that. But as I say, we will be back for the trot up in the morning and for the two sessions of show jumping. And also there will be the parade of our team gold medalists at around about 3:30, I think, tomorrow. So that's something to look forward to as well. And of course, that includes Roz. Assume she won't be parading around the arena on Lordships Graffalo because he's got rather more important things to be worrying about. But that will be something to look forward to. But you never know, she might. She's such a cool customer. But thank you for your company. It's been great fun. Really enjoyed every minute. And now we're going to, as I say, do join us in the morning from around 8:30 for the trot up. But now let's join Sam Lloyd, who has been speaking to Michael Bishop, who is Chief Executive Officer of Riding for the Disabled Association.
Well, a lovely atmosphere on Cross Country Day here at the 2024 Defendra Burley Horse Trials. And I'm out and about because there's a real sense of excitement and anticipation as we get ever closer to the start of Cross Country. And I'm delighted to be joined by Michael Bishop, Chief Executive of the Riding of Disabled Association. Good morning to you. How are we?
Good morning, Sam. Fantastic. What atmosphere it is. It's my first trip to Burley and it's an absolute delight to come in this morning. And I'm really excited for the day ahead.
It's quite a moment, isn't it, when you drive through the gates and see the spectacle that is the majestic Burley House. What are your initial impressions?
Well, it really feels like a really warm event. We live 15 minutes from Badminton, so that's our local. But seeing the house behind us emerging from the mist is a very dramatic start to the day. We parked up by the Cottesmore Leap, so seeing some of the iconic fences already is fantastic. And there's a real buzz, and we've had a good visit around the trade stands already. So, can't wait to get going.
I know how passionate you are about the sport. I know you're a rider yourself. But let's talk about the RDA and the fantastic work that you do as a charity. Give us a top line overview of what the RDA is all about.
Yeah, great. So the RDA is actually a group of 400 charities, and remarkably they exist right across the UK, and we support more than 25,000 participants a year, disabled people, to connect with horses and feel the experience that you and I know so well that comes from the kind of therapeutic benefits of horses, and that's through riding, carriage driving and non-ridden activity too. And they do that with nearly 3,000 horses across the country. So it's a fantastic effort right across the UK.
And of course, there are so many amazing initiatives, groups, organisations around the world who are really showcasing what horses can do, because it's not just about elite level, it's just about that engagement, because you work with all different organisations, don't you?
We do, and I think this is really important for horse sport, that we find ways of connecting people with horses who didn't know they wanted to be connected with a horse. And I refer to that as social relevance, but we've really got to be relevant to most of the population. And that's something we uniquely do at RDA, I think, which is connect people who had no idea they wanted to come across horses, but actually horses can have a transformative impact on their lives. And I meet people all the time who have these amazing stories that they've never thought horses are for them, but their niece, nephew, you know, all the photographs get sent through, connected with horses and have now got the confidence and skills to go on and do other things in the world, which is brilliant.
I mean, we see here at one of the world's greatest five-star events here at Burley, the relationship between horse and rider and how wonderful these animals are. And I think it's really important what you're saying about the RDA, because the connection that individuals can have, whatever their disability, they might be non-communicative, but the relationship that they can get with these wonderful animals is really second to none, isn't it? It's very powerful.
It's incredibly powerful. And we find that is a therapy that works for all sorts of people. I mean, 24% of the UK population are classified as disabled people. So there's a huge need for our support. And horses, all the people here at Burley today will know, have a unique role to play in that. That connection that we all feel, I think I've described to you in the past, the feeling at the end of the day that I get when the yard's done and the horses are contentedly munching. But it's that connection and relationship that we know makes the top athletes and the top combinations that we're going to see later on today here.
And like any charity, it's all about spreading the word. It's a bit cliched, but that's kind of your role, isn't it, and the team, to showcase what's on offer here in the UK.
Absolutely. And it's really important to stress the RDA only exists because of the dedication of 13,000 volunteers across the UK.
Wow.
Which is staggering. And these people are extraordinarily dedicated, and simply we wouldn't exist without them. So, you know, we need to spread the word, because we need to show society at large that horses are relevant to them. And we need more people to help us do that, be that supporting their local RDA group, volunteering to help them. And there are all sorts of skills that are needed. Even people who aren't necessarily confident around the horses can help us put the kettle on and make an all-important cup of tea and a slice of cake before we get going.
Anyone listening to BHT Radio is listening to our chat, and of course it's streamed further afield. How can anyone get involved? Because as you mentioned, the volunteers are really the backbone of the RDA. If you didn't have those people who effortlessly and timelessly give so much of their time, energy, enthusiasm, you wouldn't be where you are as an organisation. So how can people get involved in whatever context?
So to start off with, head to our website, the RDA website, just have a Google and find us, and you'll find details there of your local group. And the really important thing is to reach out to your local group. They'll be delighted to hear from you. I say there are more than 400 of these groups across the country, so you'll be able to find one in your neck of the woods. And shout to them. They'll help fund them, help make the tea, help walk with a pony. There are all sorts of things that we need people to help us do.
How important is it to come an event such as this, which is a fantastic canvas to kind of showcase and deliver your key messaging? It's important to have a presence, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, we think we have a real key role to play in the future of horse sport, and telling that story that horses are really relevant to a wide range of people. And that's something I'm personally really passionate about. So being here and being able to share that message with all of the people here who are convinced that horse sport's really important, but taking that as our joint responsibility and being able to share that message is something that is really important to me. And I'm delighted to be here. And hey, it's an absolute privilege, isn't it?
Well, as always, a pleasure to catch up. Have a lovely day making your debut at Burley. Enjoy it and continue the wonderful work that you do with the RDA, you and the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam. Have a great weekend, everyone.